love with you and all that jazz. You're my dream come true and all that jazz. Baby, you're too much. You got the skin I love to touch. The skin I love to touch too much. And all that jazz. You have got the lips that suit my taste.
Well, I promise you we're not going to do this hour backwards. Some little technical difficulties with our normal opening music tonight, so we open the program with our normal closing piece of music, Mel Torme and all that jazz. Good evening, and welcome, and or welcome back. Thanks for joining me tonight for another hour of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Jeff Bennett here, live on the 26th day of May, 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcast Network. Just privileged to finish up 2 hours on behalf of John Stadtmiller, who's out on some network business today. And, yeah, Granny, I am early today. I had solid 2 hours, and plus now coming up with number three. Been a busy 2 hours. You missed a really good 2 hours dealing predominantly with the issue of the illegal invasion of America. For those of you who have access to the archives that may have missed the last 2 hours, please take some time. Go in and download or listen to the May 26th 2 hour version of the National Intel Report. Proud to have brought that to you. A couple of good callers. Thanks for George and Wayne for participating. No, he'll be there in a couple of minutes. He knows the routine. Anyway, we're going to have a special guest tonight, if all goes well. I have to kind of watch my phones because sometimes if he goofs up and doesn't get called in right, then I have to go back to the drawing board, call him, give him the right information. Bill O'Brien's going to be joining us tonight. At least that's the game plan. And Bill has been a longtime friend. Started out back in the early part of the decade, probably around 2001, 2002, listening to my old program, Perspectives on America. And subsequently became a client, acquired a fair amount of items from me. And back in about 2004, about 7 years ago, he and I began a series of programs called Behind Prison Bars. Bill is a retired male nurse in the prison system of America. And the more he and I began to talk, I miss Bill working because Bill and I would talk at 12, 1 o'clock at night and keep me up to date on some of the, quote, accidental deaths that had taken place within the confines of the prison. We talked about prison life from an economic standpoint, how the prison system in America is unto itself its own little private economic forum. You know, you think back to the movies like Brubaker, where they were growing their own agriculture, then they were going and selling it on the open market, and then the prison crooks were buying it back at a higher, more inflated price. So, you know, the kind of things that we saw took place in the films Brubaker and Shawshank Redemption are not out of line. Prison is a huge industry in this country today. Amongst the things that we have witnessed over the last week or so is the Supreme Court now ordering the state of California to release one-third of the prisoners that are incarcerated there. Who's it putting back out on the street? The guy that got caught with a lid of grass? You know. We don't know. Hopefully Bill will be with us when we come back. If not, we'll make it up as we go along. But I love Renee Olmsted.
Don't you know each cloud contains a pen is from heaven? You'll find your fortune.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll-free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's
Sarah Vaughan to bring us back out of the break. Jeff Bennett here, Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Our special guest, Bill O'Brien. Bill, you and I have not been together on the air since probably September or October. Welcome back into my radio life, my friend.
Well, it's good to hear from you too, Jeff. How have you been?
Well, as you and I talked earlier today, people that need to understand, Bill and I talk every week, so it's not like we haven't talked.
That's true.
But, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to any of the previous 2 hours, and I don't want to get off in this particular direction, but we spent the last 2 hours talking about some of the legal decisions that have been made recently as relates to the illegal invasion of this country and some of the various states, South Carolina, Indiana, and others that are more and more writing legislation dealing with illegal aliens. You, of course, in your position as a male nurse for nearly two decades within the prison system of America, I'm sure dealt with and came across a good number of those. But the reason I bring it up is a column that was posted a couple days ago called The Border's Revolving Door. And a lot of this had to do with the murder of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry some months ago, back in December, as a matter of fact. And as you read into this article, you begin to find out that there were four or five suspects involved with this murder. And as you begin to get into it, you find that at least two of them had previously been deported from this country a number of times and, of course, broke back into the country, eventually killed a Border Patrol agent, and it's just insane. How much of that kind of stuff did you run across when you were still within the system?
Well, actually, you had to look for it, but it was there. What you're seeing is that you're seeing a highly structured organization from the drug cartels in Mexico bringing up their mules and getting them in access into the country. And as a matter of fact, in the DOC, they've actually hired some of these mules to be flippers. In other words, they snitch their intel for lighter sentences or privileges outside of their hit in corrections.
Well, our listeners need to understand what is meant by a mule. A mule is not a four-legged animal in this particular case.
Oh, no, it's somebody who's vital for the distribution of narcotics in this country.
Exactly, and I actually read quite an involved comment about that last night. I meant to save it for the program. I may still have it in my emails, but I've got to dig it up again. But they're coming across the desert. They're coming across the border in the middle of the night where, you know, bringing burlap bags full of drugs or knapsacks or whatever. They quickly get up there and change into more Americanized-style clothing. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the letter that I got actually was from a Arizona state representative, and I will probably make that a part of tomorrow's program. But, you know, the reason I bring all this up is certainly the incarceration factor. I spent some time yesterday and earlier today kind of giving our audience the background of how you and I met and some of the subject matter that we've discussed over the years, showing that the prison systems in America today are a huge, huge, huge business. It's not a place where they go to incarcerate and try to change the mindsets of these people or the way they think or the way they live. What's the term we used to use?
Rehabilitate?
Rehabilitation. It's got nothing to do with rehabilitation. It's got to do with cheap labor, doesn't it? And I understand.
Absolutely. You're right. That's part of it. The cheap labor, it was part of the insidious plan with NAFTA and GATT while they were highlighting the exportation of jobs. What they weren't telling you, what the other hand was doing, they were allowing companies to import their business into the infrastructure of the prison system and to make money one hand fistful over another because they didn't have to pay any infrastructure costs, Social Security taxes, employment taxes, health care benefits, or anything. And if inmates refused to perform labor, then they didn't get the parole that they were anticipating, or they would end up in restrictive housing units. And this is big business. I want you to know that one company that we had running our prison health services was bought out. American Service Group signed a merger with them, and the company by the name of Valeteus. And understand this: we're not talking a small company. This company is a private healthcare service that provides services to prisons. And just mm-hmm. get this idea that they have 11,000 employees and independent contractors in 400 facilities. And their annual revenues for this year are supposed to be over $1.4 billion.
Now, this is a private healthcare facility for...
Company. They provide the...
Company. For
the oversight.
Now, when you say for prisons, you're talking about like for employees in the prisons?
No, for the inmates.
The inmates themselves?
Yeah.
And I would be willing to bet that they're going to be exempt from Obamacare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Obamacare is going to affect everybody that doesn't need to be affected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Obamacare has nothing to do with health care, nor does our health system and the prison system have anything to do with it. You asked the rhetorical question of what kind of inmate is being released from California. I'm going to tell you what the kinds they're sending out. The most dangerous kind next to murderers, mentally ill people, 32,000 are going out.
And this is amongst this group in California that have been released. Now you've been retired for what, 6-7 months now, 8 months?
Around 9 months now. Time goes
and yet
on.
You're still staying very close to the people that you worked with, at least the decent ones. You're still a member of certain organizations. And
Jeff,
can I interject
a point here?
Yeah, please do.
It ties in what you're saying. When you're in the prison system, particularly like ours, and you're above and beyond what transpires, and you're sort of a Serpico, it becomes almost a band of brothers or like the Marine Corps. You're never really retired.
I understand that.
Okay. Have you also noticed one thing, just one other point? You never noticed that whenever they talk about these, with all this massive increase in the police network and the abuses that go along with them. They never, ever asked Frank Serpico for his opinion.
Why is that?
That's an interesting question, not a rhetorical one. I hope most of your audience know who Frank Serpico was. Just to be brief, the New York City Police Department was probably as corrupt as the Chicago Police Department, and Frank Serpico was one of the policemen that refused to take bribes, and he was almost murdered because he was willing to expose the corruption in the 70s in the police department. They got to him, and while he was still in the intensive care unit from his incident, that they finally gave him his detective badge, and shortly thereafter he retired from the force. But they've, from this day on, no one's ever asked him his opinion. Well, we increased this surveillance system or security infrastructure or anything that goes along with the corruption that is associated with any kind of organization that has big money to be made.
Well, first thing is, I wonder if, number one, he's still alive. If, number two, he just decided, forget it. They don't need
well, he was
me
living
staying
in Sweden.
Out of it.
He was living in, I believe, Sweden at the time, after his wife died. So, you know yourself, Jeff. If they wanted to get a hold of him, they would.
Well, but on the other hand, he may just say, forget it. I'm not answering your questions. I've done my time. You've got your problems. You go deal with it. Interesting you brought that up, because I read a piece earlier today about two New York cops that were acquitted today from having raped an individual that they'd pulled over for, I don't know, I guess she was drunk or something, and they'd escorted her up to her apartment, and while they were there, they called in a phony emergency call, and they went in and had their way with her, and these two guys were found innocent of all charges.
I'm not surprised. Remember some of the stories I told you behind bars that we've seen?
Right.
And most recently, it probably has not made the major wire services, but in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the prison, state prison down there, there is a major investigation going on. And there's a grand jury investigation going on because of several guards and inmates were involved in exposing incoming prisoners who were sex offenders, and these people were their cell doors were left open, and surveillance cameras were ignored while these people were raped with broomsticks. Several times this occurred.
Well, we've heard stories over the years. You and I've certainly had this discussion, both personally and on the air, that sex offenders were one caliber of prisoner that was not accepted within the community of inmates.
It still is.
Sex offenders were generally dealt with pretty harshly by the others.
They still are.
Which is interesting because, you know, these guys are maybe in there for murder. Maybe they're in there for rape. Maybe they're in there for bank robbery, drug dealing, whatever the case may be. So they're all criminals, but maybe the basic thesis is that these guys were, in many cases, parents of young children or grandchildren, absolutely would not tolerate this.
Oh, there still was a code in prison.
Very interesting.
That the people we work with a lot do not have the code, but inmates still have a code. Now, it's being deteriorated with the influx of illegal immigrants, I got to tell you. But it's still prevalent there, and they will take care of business.
We've got illegal immigrants in both federal prisons, but we've got them in state prisons as well. Is that correct?
That's right. I remember when we first got our first illegal. Oh, that was back in 94. And now, all of a sudden, you know, when I left, there was the population still pretty much consistent around the 37% level of illegals or a Mexican descent.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's really high, Jeff.
I mean,
they won't tell you.
But you know, once again, they're not wanting to talk about it. One of the callers in the last hour, Wayne, called in, and he gave out some pretty interesting numbers, not numbers that I was unfamiliar with, but they talk about the number of Americans that are killed daily by murder at the hands of illegal aliens, or then there's the separate issue of traffic accidents and deaths due to the hands of illegals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it seems to me that in California they've now been ordered to release, what is it, up to 40% of the illegal or of the incarcerated population. There's
oh,
no
a lot
separation
more than
with illegals or anything else. But whatever the percentage is, it's because they have overcrowding. They've even had to take a gymnasium and athletic facility within the prisons. Look, these are communities, people. Communities within communities.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they sue, they get their color TVs. I'm obese. I deserve air conditioning because I can't survive without it. You know, should have thought about all that stuff before you did the crime.
Yeah.
How many of these people getting out are probably getting let out? They were moderate, you know, abusers because they had more marijuana than maybe they should have had, stuff like that. I frankly don't care about people like that.
No.
The guy gets caught with a pound of grass, let him out. It's the other issues I'm concerned with.
Well, it bothers me. These people all of a sudden become eligible for Social Security disability. I mean, they come in. You can tell who these people are, Jeff, and let me inform the folks that despite the fact you have this ubiquitous Social Security number that seems to be generated from who knows where for what purpose, you can tell when someone got their Social Security card by the numbers on it, and you can also tell when someone received their Social Security card after they become incarcerated by the numbers.
Hmm.
So we were able to figure that out and flag that out. We did some of our own research, and we talked to people who were in the know years ago, and we just had a running total on the night shift because we ended up having to process all these charts, these patients, these inmates going in and out, and it was amazing. I mean, we actually had people there with three Social Security numbers. And what happens is a lot of these guys, when they're getting near the short of their sentence, a lot of them will play the suicide watch game because if you have a history of depression and you've seen a psychiatrist or you have a history of having suicidal ideations, hey, you're now all of a sudden mentally disabled, so you're eligible for Social Security disability. Isn't that sweet?
That's interesting. How does one go to prison and then all of a sudden acquire a Social Security number?
That's when the justice system winks at the fact that these people are illegals and they just put them through the mill and let it slip under the cracks. And after they've been processed in the state prison system, part of that processing is to get them a Social Security number as part of their identification code. But no one talks about that. That's been going on for years. And because it's been assumed that's just the way business is done, no one ever questions it. And as I've reiterated time and time again, Jeff, that the thing that really bothers me is the fact that the Department of Corrections, no matter what state you're in, is part of the cabinet of the governor's office, which means it doesn't get the independent oversight that it really needs because of the things that are transpiring along this nature, plus of the high level of corruption and the money that's being made. I mean, we're being raped hand over fist. I'll give you an example, too, about how they lie. We were told about this economic belt tightening in the Pennsylvania area by the erstwhile governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Corbett, in relief of Eddie the Racketeer Rendell.
Eddie has a new career on Fox TV or something. So.
Oh, fast, yeah. That's why they have widescreen TVs to fit his fat body in it. But in any event, all of a sudden, the State House rubber stamps Corbett's budget a couple days ago. And lo and behold, this budget where we had a couple billion dollar deficit, well, we made these cuts, thank God we made the cuts because now we don't have to go into the $555 million surplus that we've had under the rainy day fund that we didn't tell you about. A lot of the states are doing this, Jeff. It's just a money grab. I really believe a lot of these perceived budget crises are actually overinflated for the dramatics and also to hide their own private agendas, because if all of a sudden you say you have a $100 billion deficit or a $50 billion deficit and say, look how we whittled it down to $25 billion, and the truth of the matter is you just gave yourself and your contributors a nice little $12 billion contract along the way, then you know no one's going to look.
Let's go back to the wink-wink for a minute. I'd asked the question about, you know, how do people go to prison, then all of a sudden miraculously come up with Social Security numbers. You said some have got as many as three.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there's been rumors that the current resident at 1600 Pennsylvania has a multitude thereof, including one from Connecticut that allegedly was a Social Security of a man who died in and around 1890 when Social Security numbers didn't even exist back then. But
That's a new one. That's even better than Chicago politics.
Well, considering where he comes from, no, it fits the mold. But I guess the thing that I'm finding interesting here is, all right, we've got illegal aliens. We've got the alleged average population of illegal aliens in the U.S. prison system, a combination of both state and federal. We may or may not be counting even county and city, et cetera, here. And all of a sudden, they're getting Social Security numbers. Excuse me, they are illegal. Why are they not being deported? Not that that makes a lot of difference, because it's been proven time and time and time again, those that get deported miraculously seem to find their way back up here into Estados Unidos. And mm-hmm. I am going to say, you can take this the way you want, folks, the majority of these that have been deported that re-enter the United States happen to be Mexican. I can't help those facts. That's reality. You can call it racist. You can do whatever you want. That happens to be reality. So why aren't they just flat being deported to begin with? Or does it come down to the cheap labor factor of those who own the prisons and manage them?
There's a lot of that going around, and it's just not in the prisons. Let's face the facts. No one ever did a mortality and morbidity rate of these illegals that returned to Mexico. I understand they don't talk about it now because it's not politically feasible, or it's not a viable topic for them, right? Mm-hmm. It's not on their agenda. About the Mexican gang troubles down there and the high murder rate. Isn't it amazing? These guys just seem to make it back time and time again where everyone else is getting shot.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've got a guy, Frank Newby, who sends me his border watch each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he continues to talk about the murder that goes on down in, and most of the murders are going on in the Texas area, in the El Paso area and others, up and north across the border. I'm trying to find his latest issue today. He has watched a massive increase in the murders that is drug-related, drug cartel-related. This is amongst the biggest wars we're fighting in this country today. Forget about Afghanistan, Iraq, and now the foolish nonsense going on in Libya, and Obama's latest binge to make himself autonomous that says he doesn't need Congress's authority for anything. Frank Newby, Border Report, I get each and every single day coming out of the National Association of Former Border Patrol Officers, and these guys are all kicking in. Today's headline, misguided U.S. drug policies afflict Mexico. Central America attacks on Mexican police are still increasing, and 28 dead in the latest issue. And where was it reported? In El Paso? No, the 28 dead from the multiple wounded in running gun battle near Nayarit, Mexico on Wednesday, May 25th. That's yesterday. Where did that report come from? Out of The Guardian and the United Kingdom. Don't want to talk about those things here. But ultimately, it's going to lead to higher crime, greater numbers of people being incarcerated. They got to make room for the next round of those being incarcerated.
Absolutely. They built these prisons not for the clientele that they have now,
but for the clientele they expect to get in the future.
Absolutely, Jeff.
Pretty powerful stuff.
Interesting things that are, too, happening in the world of correctional science and high tech. As I told you, I belong to the several organizations, and I also get information from an organization called the Technology for Law Enforcement Corrections and Forensic Sciences. And it's interesting what they're doing right now. You know that they're actually starting to use bait bikes with GPS tracking to ostensibly catch perpetrators who are in this epidemic of bike thievery.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, hold on to that thought. Bill O'Brien's with us today. We're going to come back talking about GPS and chipping. Is that in our future? And who are the guinea pigs to test it all out? We'll be right back.
Birdman, that's what I always hear when you sigh. Never in my wordland could there be words to reveal.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you? Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain meal, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ramsey Lewis bringing us back out of the break very quickly. Forget it. I don't have any of that stuff up anyway. Bill O'Brien's with us tonight, and it takes time to kind of get back into the groove, buddy.
Yes, sir.
What else is going on out in the world of the prisons? You know, I shared with our audience that over the years we've talked about the big economics of prison life, and but I think we want to go in a different direction tonight.
Sure.
We began talking about the chips, and obviously for most of our audience, this is something that ticks everybody off, the, if you will, the so-called mark of the beast. But you're talking about bicycles with chips in it? What's this for?
They're using that as a, they're using this down at the University of California, Santa Barbara. Police are deploying a bait-fitted a set of bikes with the GPS technology in it, and they're setting them up in high target areas, where they anticipate great theft, so anybody who steals these bikes, they can track them and apprehend them. And this is
talking about bicycles that police are using. You're talking about bicycles that they sell, so they can find these things that they're stolen at universities. Little college cuties ride their bikes, pedal their bikes around campus.
Bicycle theft is big business. And in case people aren't out there aren't aware of the price of bicycles, you can easily sink $3,000 and $4,000 into a bicycle.
Hmm.
Easily.
Hmm.
And it's also interesting, up in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, March 25th, 2011, they came up, they just put out a request for information for GPS monitoring services for the probation department. And it's very chilling to read what this RFI has involved in it. It talks basically on point number three, the purpose of the RFI. The current technology system utilized for the probation service has the following features, and which may serve as minimal requirements. The ability to track 1,200 to 2,000 probationers or offenders at one time. The ability to track individuals within the entire Commonwealth of Massachusetts, inclusive of island territories. The ability to use GPS receiver unit with landline and cellular telecommunication systems. The optional use of alcoholic monitors incorporated into the GPS monitoring system. Tamper notifications and battery notifications, equipment that provides for the ability to locate any and all offenders in a specific geographic location for specific date and time. Internal and on-site monitoring to be performed at Massachusetts electronic monitoring centers. We have these also in Pennsylvania and New York. They have been built covertly. I told you about the one back in 04 that's actually built on the prison grounds where I worked at. They kept that very low level, but that's exactly what it is. And in this,
right.
They want software developed that will include inclusion and exclusion zones. They want to have ability to monitor at an electronic monitoring center, ability to provide minimum location updates every 30 seconds, and other points, but that gets wordy. But I think that's very significant when you see Massachusetts already quietly ramping up and no one's talking about this. Particularly, you never notice it on those prison shows in the wee hours of the morning on Saturday or Sunday on MSNBC. They never talk about this technology, per se. They'll show you the SWAT, the CERT team stuff, but they won't show you or talk about this stuff or related to the cell phone epidemic they say that we have.
Hmm. I don't know, man. It's
See, that dovetails into this tracking thing. They created this problem, as I told you on a couple of shows, of the cell phone. And we don't have a cell phone problem. They're allowing a cell phone problem to exist. So they can use this as the beta test for this tracking network of following these people with the cell phones. As a matter of fact, it seems like every day now on the news you're seeing somebody talking about how they caught somebody sexting or texting. The state police had a bait program where they had somebody thinking they're talking to a preteen or a teen, and it was actually the state police, and they nabbed somebody. You know, it's becoming almost commonplace. You expect it, like the weather or sports, to be on the news agenda.
I'm just there's times that I get speechless, Bill. I am so
overwhelmed by this.
Yeah, overwhelmed, I guess, is the word. I remember, you know, you and I several years ago talked about the cell phone issue in prisons because they're not allowed to have any, etc. And yet, apparently, they continue to find Charlie Manson with cell phones on a continual basis. It's ongoing. You know, here's a guy that, in my personal opinion, you know, after how many, what's it been, 40 years since the so-called Lobiano Tate murders by the Manson gang? Manson never did a thing. Manson ordered a bunch of idiots and bimbos to go perform these murders. Now, look, it's not that Manson's a great guy. The guy's an absolute wacko. And anybody who's seen his ongoing interviews, et cetera, once a year, what he's due for, you know, parole discussions, he's never going to get out. But, you know, a good example. Now, last night, we got a guy that back some years ago, 1990-something, 1994, had kidnapped and brutally raped and murdered and dismembered a 13-year-old girl. And for 27 years, this guy's been sitting on death row. 27 years.
Dear God.
I don't care, you know, you want to play your little biblical, oh, you can't kill these people, you know, it's not up to us, blah, blah, blah. Well,
that's
you
not
know,
biblical, Jeff.
In the Bible, it gets into a little bit of eye to eye business, and I get so angry that 27 years, Charlie Manson, 40 years, the American public has through taxation, and which is a form of rape. I don't care how you want to cut
and
it.
And slavery.
Is forced to pay for this guy to exist who has no right to exist.
We like, first thing, a question that I ponder when you mentioned Charlie Manson. How does somebody who was apprehended during the time when we still had rotary phones understand how to utilize the technology relating to cell phones when he, quote-unquote, got one?
That's an interesting concept. I never quite thought about it that way.
And just remember, Adolf Hitler never hurt anybody personally.
Nope. You know, we won't go to that discussion tonight. We'll really tick some people off. Who did I have a conversation with this morning? Oh, this gal who called me from the Ukraine this morning. She's an American who happens to be living in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
She is a PhD. She is a teacher. She's in the process of writing her second book, dealing with some of the economic issues of the day worldwide and collapses of currencies and governments, et cetera, et cetera. Quite an interesting conversation. We had somewhat of a discussion regarding the issue you just brought up, this ongoing business of Israel, how, you know, this nation continues to support, et cetera, through lobbies. It is purely insanity, just pure insanity. Of course, Obama, now look, I don't disagree. This is a terrible thing to say. It's one of the first things that Obama came up with that I agree with. It's time to sit down at the table and bring this mess in the Middle East and put it to bed and come to a degree of peace. Obama's mistake, of course, is that he basically chastised Israel for their continued stance and demands that, you know, Israel go back to its, or Jerusalem goes back to its pre-1967 borders. Now, of course, somebody's written a joke demanding that the United States go back to its pre-1959 borders, which would have eliminated Hawaii and Alaska as states, and therefore Obama certainly could not have been born. Never mind. It goes on and on.
Well,
and on.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that no one ever proposed a peace talk for that settlement there.
No. But it's never going to happen anyway. And the reason it's never going to happen, as far as is Middle East, once again, goes back to a film that I talk about quite often. My good friend of 43 years, a liberal New Yorker, by the way, who happens to also be my accountant. He was a friend long before he ever became my accountant. I introduced him to the movie Kingdom of Heaven. This is obviously way off the subject of prisons and prison life, etc., and the things we're looking at. I finally got him to sit down and watch the film with me. He is now absolutely mesmerized. He went out and got himself a copy of it. He's watching this thing over and over because he, like myself, tends to absorb film to the point that you fully understand the nuances and everything else that's in it. He has become absolutely mesmerized by this film. Anyone who has any interest in understanding what Jerusalem is all about and what this ongoing fight with the Palestinians, the so-called Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews needs to go rent and or buy Kingdom of Heaven and start watching it. This is a hell of a lot more than a Hollywood production, my friends. It answers many questions for me that I think are well worth everybody understanding, if you give a damn. So that's my challenge to the American public. Was Obama wrong in demanding that we sit down and go back to some pre-67 borders? Absolutely not. I just think Obama may have shot himself in the foot because he has just lost the support of a massive size of the Jewish voting public and lobby organizations. Which,
well,
to me,
do you think that's
going to
stop him? Do you really think that's going to stop him from being reelected?
I think that given where that support base comes from and the economics, I think it could certainly put a big ding in his intents. So,
you know, I was just thinking. Go ahead. I was I was just confabulating my thought. I was thinking. Well, I and one of my fellow compadres, nurses in behind bars, were talking about the other day. Maybe we'll have to go into depth about this if we have more time. Is that the latest and greatest currency crisis that's been occurring, and no one's ever talked about it? The currency crisis is in prison, because all the prisons now are going to non-smoking status, and the currency of common trade was cigarettes.
cigarettes were the fiat currency behind prison bars.
Mm-hmm.
No exchange of money, whatever you needed, you were swapping cigarettes for it. So, mm-hmm. you know, those kind of things that we see in movies is not out of line at all.
No, no. Oh, no. And I'll tell you what, they take their credit rating in prison very seriously. I worked one time down in Pittsburgh, and I was off the one day it happened. One fellow by the name, I'll tell his name. His name was Jolly. He owed one fella $100. $100, and that's a lot of money in prison. He welched on his bet, and he took hold time so he could avoid paying this guy and get away from him. He wasn't on the range. Now, those tiers that you see in Shawshank, that's known as the range, and you have those tiers. He was up on the M tier, the top tier, and his cell was all the way in the back. Who was behind the logistics on this? He wasn't out of the hole for more than 2 hours when he was literally drawn and quartered up on the range.
Mm.
Literally drawn and quartered.
Which in this case means what? They killed him?
Oh, they gutted him.
My word.
They sliced him up like a laparotomy operation. I mean,
what happens with the so-called administration or the hierarchy in prisons? Is there an investigation? Ha ha, wink wink. Or do they know this is what's going on?
They always have a CYA investigation to make it look good. Again, you don't know how good the investigation is or where the truth lies because, quite frankly, there's no independent oversight. You're told the story that they tell you. It's just like the concentration camps in Nazi Germany or Japan telling you, these guys are being treated well, they're getting 3 squares a day, and they're getting decent medical care. Go away.
You know, that's interesting because in your final year, you had several instances when you were working, you had several instances where patients died.
Yes.
And can you expound on that to the audience a little bit?
Well, we have pretty substandard medical care in these prisons right now. One fellow was found in the guard pretty much believed that he had suffered a cardiac arrest before the nurse showed up, and the nurse didn't know what she was doing and quite frankly panicked and actually took the assessment and actually said, quote unquote, we have vitals on this person. Pupils were fixed and dilated. There was no, I mean, he was dead. Well, they didn't respond quickly. You're called on the radio, and you have to respond, obviously, within a reasonable amount of time. We're talking a couple of minutes at maximum. Well, 10 or 15 minutes went by. This person was at lunch, and that person wasn't coming out. And so, because this person had political connections, the whole incident was covered up. And we've had people who have had necessary, if not emergent, medical care needing to be done, but they have been defrayed because of the fact they, quote-unquote, had to get a specialist approval. In other words, PHS didn't want to pay for the surgeries, and they were trying to drag this thing out until they were getting close to the minimum, their parole, and then they just say, you're too close to your parole date for the surgery, you get it on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really going on, folks.
Jeez.
I will go over my file. I have
prison
files.
Health system?
The health system is truly deteriorating. I have notes in my diaries, and I'm going to be writing a book on this, of the shoddy medical care and things I've witnessed. Yeah, it's appalling. When I start talking again, it's going to get me mad.
I know.
You work to it for a certain standard, Jeff. I don't care where you're at, and when you see the ethics being violated and the cover-ups that exist, it just really makes you angry. And let me tell you something. This is a template for what's going to happen in our medical care system. It truly is.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a group of people that really don't care about our medical system. I'm going through, I'm not going to say a fight. As you know, my wife retired recently. Which means that now I, of course, no longer will have health care or medical care, et cetera, insurance, as it were, after the 30th of this month. And therefore, I am out on my own. I have to go out and find my own. Good Lord, you know, because she was part of a group this education field. You know, she was still forking out $500 and some odd a month for me. I think our deductible was $1,000 a month, or $1,000 was our deductible per year for each one of us. And now I'm finding that it's going to cost me out there. Hello, sweetie pie. Ooh, what do you got there? You know who I'm talking to on the phone? You remember my friend Bill we went to the Grand Canyon with last year? Yeah, well, he's on the phone on the radio with me. So I'll be off the air in a couple of minutes, honey. All right, it's a fish. Anyway, so I'm out there fighting this insurance thing, and it's going to cost me as much money, $528 a month. It's a $5,000 deductible. I have to go get my prescription drugs on a discount elsewhere. It's a joke. I don't get the dental. I don't get eye vision with it. All of this stuff is optional. But now, and you know, every penny up to $5,000 now comes out of my pocket. What am I paying this stupid thing for? Just in case I have a major medical issue.
Well, here's something interesting, Jeff. You know, I'm going overseas this summer. Well, I have to worry about. I am looking at getting gap insurance because you're going to areas that have quote unquote socialized medicine and universal health care doesn't mean you're included or I'm included, even though I have Blue Cross Blue Shield Highmark. No, I have to have insurance that will cover me in their country, or I'm going to be stuck with the whole tab if I have a medical incident.
And just for our audience's edification, Bill is a railroad buff and absolutely loves the old steam trains, as I do. I guess it takes us back to a simpler era. And if you don't mind my saying, Bill is going to Europe to actually engineer one of the last working steam trains in Poland.
Well,
and
actually,
I envy you for that, man.
It's actually the last regularly scheduled passenger service that's all steam run. They have, I believe they have 16 operating steam locomotives in this railroad, the Polish National Railroad. So that's what I'm going to be working as an engineer and as a fireman, and I'll be doing that for around 8 days. So that's what I'm going to be going to Poland, and I'll be going to Berlin, too, for a couple of days. It'll be interesting to see what transpires. I'll be keeping a journal, and I'll be sharing any new and exciting things that I happen to cross over. It's kind of interesting that the person in charge of this tour group, he used to work for the Central Intelligence Agency. Hello.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding you.
Be careful what you say to that individual.
Oh, I am keeping my mouth shut. You know, I don't have to go look for trouble.
No, once a company man, always a company man. I believe that for my entire life. It's amazing.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that's what happened. Just as a retrospect, you know, we always hear the story, the proverbial frog, and how it's conditioned by the slowly increasing of the water temperature. I was sharing with one of the nurses, the same person, Janine, and we were talking, and I said, you know, it's amazing what happens when you have a Republican governor, and he says, I was told by my former boss there, he says, your state employees really take it in the shorts no matter what, and it's true. And she says, what are you talking about? Because she's expecting some really positive changes with Corbyn. I says, you're going to see change, but it's going to be what's left out of your salary.
Right.
I said, when Tommy the Rat Ridge took over, if I had any kind of medications I need to get, it cost generic or otherwise, it cost me $2. I says, I didn't have to get pre-approved for operations. I could choose my doctor from anyone I wanted to. And I said, there was no co-pays, at least out of my paycheck. And then all of a sudden, this guy shows up, and all of a sudden, we've got to start coughing up 0.5% or 1%, and then up to 2 and 3% of our gross pay for health care to pay for our fair share, quote-unquote, if we don't belong to their invasive health care training program so they can oversee how well we're taking care of ourselves, which means they won't know anything about your medical treatment by doing that. Oh, yeah, they call health care coaches. I told you that. When I asked them what their credentials are, they got real mum about it. I says, well, how are you going to coach me when you don't – I says, all you're doing is creating a database pool by circumventing the medical ethics. That's what transpired under Tommy the Rat Ridge, besides all this surveillance technology that in the ramping up of our prison system when he was governor in Pennsylvania.
Well, it's the usual. We're shafted. Listen, we're going to run short. We're going to have just a couple of minutes left, Bill.
Okay.
Like to get you back up as often as you'd like to come in. I think that you know, there's no point in trying to rehash everything, but let's face it, this is a new audience. They're unfamiliar with a lot of the things we've discussed. I'd like to come in next week, if you'd care to, same day, and let's talk a little bit about the economics of prisons, how
okay,
they function.
Okay, that'll give me a chance to go over my journals, because I
yeah,
think the journal
who's
every
profiting,
year I work.
How it's affecting all of us, and the other issue I'd like to discuss is you know, because a lot of people just finished last month paying their tax bill.
Oh, yeah.
People who, Bill, have never had to write a check to the IRS in their life. Obama came to office promising that he would not increase taxes to people making less than $250,000 a year. I don't know too many people that are making that kind of money, but people that I've known who have never in 40-odd years of working ever had to write a check to the IRS had to do so this year, and a lot of it has to do with this little thing that is openly known as Obamacare.
I got to tell you, I told you how much I had to write a check for.
Well, I've told this story about you. You expected to happen because you retired. You took a partial settlement. You were expecting to pay $7,000, and by the time you were done with your accountant, you had to write a check to the IRS for over $13,000.
$13,900.
So much for lower taxes. Yeah.
Yep.
So much for lower taxes under the great and all-powerful Oz. I mean, Obama, Uncle Remus, whatever you want to call him.
Obama bin Laden.
Obama bin Laden yet? Probably at our tax expense. I don't know.
Well, Bill if O'Brien, I was married to Michelle, I would want to. I'd spend money for it.
Any final comments? We got about a minute to go, bud. Any final comments?
Yeah, I got to tell you, folks. This is these are very, very dangerous times, particularly when you start seeing these inmates being released the way they are. And it's important to pay attention to what's going on in the prison system, because as I and Jeff have alluded to, what transpires there is going to transpire in your neighborhood just down the road, because they use the prisons as a beta test for a lot of this technology and also a lot of the social conditioning that now we have. I alluded to health care. So pay attention to what's going on out there in the prison system, because I tell you right now, what you see is what you're going to get.
Well, we have to rely on you to some degree to bring us up to snuff. Many
I'm amazed, Jeff.
About forced inoculations. All these kind of things. Drugs that are being tested out.
We'll talk about that, how they were trying to force us.
The street.
They're trying to force me to get an injection, and I refused.
Ooh.
I'm serious.
See what happens when you try to get on that plane in the summer to go over to overseas and see what happens.
It'll be interesting.
It's like George called in on the last hour and talk about, in this country today, you've got people that are fed up, or in Texas, they're felt up. Go to the airport, for some people, that's the only sex they get, is going to the airport. Foreplay, not sex, foreplay.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's just absolutely insane. You know, it's a joke for I and you, but if they did that to your granddaughter, I know you'd be hopping mad.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be jumping ugly.
Well, I've been told I'm jumping ugly anyway, but that's another story.
Well, that's why
Bill,
we're on radio, Jeff. We have faces made for radio.
Yeah, this has been good, man. Thanks for being with us. It's been good to do this again after 6-7 months. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for giving up your precious and valuable time to spend your 3 hours with me. For those of you who did, good Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow with another episode of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Until that time, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
Fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has. And I got you, yes, I got you, I got you, and all that jazz, and all that jazz.
Ever climbing as the dollar continues.